Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
The button has been pressed.
I, in fact, pressed the button.
Very good button pushing.
Thank you.
I think it was good, even pressure.
Yeah, I didn't want to, like, hurt the button.
No, you can't. You can't upset the button when you molest it.
No.
You don't really want to molest it because that's to bother. You don't want to bother the button.
It's not a bother. I'm trying to not be a bother.
No, you want to caress the button.
I want my button pushing to be right on the button.
And you know what? I think it was.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, yes. Next time you push the button, let's see how you do.
You're
my apprentice. You saw how I did it.
I know. It's a little jabby when I do it, though. I'm, like, in there with too sharp a force.
But this is the 77th time. Probably more that I've done this.
There's a lot of times of doing this.
A lot of times, people. Do you appreciate that? Who cares? I don't care if you appreciate it.
No.
Do it anyways.
You should, but if you don't, it's on you.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
You know. So, movies, we're going to talk about them. J-Rod, how are you?
Hi, J-Rod.
Hey, follow your heart, buddy. It's coming.
It is.
It's coming soon. But in Capes and Scales terms, so like within a year.
That's very quick for Capes and Scales
terms. Yeah, I know. There's so many things that I haven't completed. Whew.
And COVID makes it tough.
I know. I wish I was more quarantined. I could just be at home doing things.
Right.
But that really wouldn't happen.
You would be Mr. Burns in the casino episode where you're just building model airplanes and insisting
Spruce
they're real.
Spruce Moose.
Yes. I said get in. So good.
He had an awesome mustache in that episode.
They did.
When's our Simpsons podcast going
to
start?
I'm only going up to like season 10 and then I'm stopping, but
sounds perfect.
Okay, then I'm in.
All right. That'll happen in actual Capes and Scales terms, so 5 years?
Yeah.
Maybe?
It's like dog years, but like reverse dog years, I guess.
Reverse dog years.
Reverse dog years.
I like it.
Yeah.
Ooh, my drink made a cracky noise.
Yeah, that spherical ice cube.
Spheres.
Thanks, Sam.
Hi, Sam. Hey, are we still in April? Yeah, blaze it, Sam.
Yep.
You know, every time I listen back to an episode, I hear that I'm like, I wonder how mad she is when she hears that.
She ain't happy about it.
Oh, Sam.
Makes me happy, though.
Sam, it's not going to stop, okay? This is going to be the one glaring thing between us.
Right?
Blaze it. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I would love it for you to go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to do a movie from 2019.
Hmm.
Tail end, it was like nearly 2020.
Okay.
My movie is called Dead Dicks.
Dead Dicks.
Dead Dicks.
I see.
Dead Dicks. I watched it on August 11th. Mm-hmm. Blaze it, Sam? I don't know. An hour 23 is your IMDb minutes. Your genre, comedy, horror, sci-fi. Directed by, oh boy, here we go.
Okay.
Chris Bavoda. And this is more because of my handwriting being so sloppy. And
okay.
Lee Paula? Paulo Springer? Starring Heston Horwin, Gillian Harris, and Matt Keyes.
Okay.
Your IMDb summary. After Becca receives a distressing call from her suicidal brother Richie, she rushes over to his apartment and finds him alive and well, surrounded by copies of his own dead body.
Weird.
Super weird. And once I read that description, I said, I want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a very cool concept.
It is a cool concept.
So my bullet points, small indie film, small cast. It really is just a handful of rooms. It's one of those movies.
I like that.
Clever concept. There is, I will say, a lot of full frontal male nudity in this. And I think it's important to point that out, like if you're going to watch it with your kids. I understand I should point out full frontal female nudity, and maybe I will.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we've watched too many that were like, I mean, I definitely know I went on a tirade with Killer Waves.
Sure.
Because that was one of the most egregious. I hate it when it's egregious when
sure.
It's just in there. But I mean, if like it's a dead body, that why would it come out closed? Is it clothed? Is
right.
He the Incredible Hulk? Are they always wearing purple pants?
That would be cool, right?
I mean, I'd be down.
Yeah, ripped purple pants?
Yeah, I
Did
get
you
the
get
reference.
Angry?
Yeah.
We would know. But no, this man, he dies and another one comes back. And he's naked. And also, I did want to put a thing in here. If suicide makes you uncomfortable, that's a big part of this movie.
Mm.
You know, it's very in your face. It's a big plot point, and it's handled with care, but it is a big glaring thing. So if you're a little uneasy about these things, this might not be the movie for you.
Right, right.
And, you know, also, if you're having issues or thoughts or anything and you need to talk to somebody, please do. But in general, this is a very big part of the movie.
Yes.
Basically, the brother, his character is plays it so well. He really feels like he's having a breakdown. And at first you're thinking everything's okay, and then you find the first dead body and you realize that he has killed himself several times, and there's several dead bodies in the apartment.
That's wild.
And things go nuts with his sister, and the neighbor keeps coming over, and a lot of things all happening at once. It's such a cool movie. It's just kind of rough to get through.
Okay.
It doesn't really capture my imagination like I hoped it would.
Mm.
But it's an all right movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I can talk too much more about it without giving away some pretty big plot twist that might sway you, and I don't want to do that.
Mm.
Just know this might not be for you. It might be. Who knows? We're going to do the scores. IMDb gave this a 5.0.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato critics, 9 critics, 100%.
Hmm.
Interesting, right?
Hmm.
Rotten Tomatoes audience, 12 of them, 58%.
Okay.
I gave it a 4.5.
Okay.
It's not amazing. It leans a little towards less amazing.
Sure.
I think it's because it's such a great idea, and it just kind of done a little meh.
Right.
There is a part that has some really cool practical effects that is great, but like it's just not enough.
Understood.
So, yeah, if you want to see something different, or if you just want to see a penis show up in a movie, because that doesn't happen all the time.
No.
This one's got several, but it's the same one. Oh, it's so confusing. It's a penis paradox, Max.
Hmm.
What you got?
I have a movie that is very good.
Ooh, good.
1966, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
I love this movie. Penis Free.
Penis Free.
I mean, they were there, but
yeah,
they were closed.
They're covered up, yeah. I watched this in April of 2020. Blaze it.
Blaze it, Sam.
IMDb minutes here are two different kinds, because there's a re-release version that is 3 hours and 58 minutes long.
It's a lot of horse riding.
And the regular cut that I think most people are used to is 2 hours and 41 minutes, still a lengthy watch.
Yeah.
It is a Western, more accurately a spaghetti Western, because it was made by an Italian. His name was Sergio Leone. He happened to also direct the film. This movie stars Clint Eastwood of Back to the Future 3 fame. It's got Lee Van Cleef of Escape from New York fame. And it's got Eli Wallach of just being a general amazing actor fame.
There you go.
Also has Rada Razimov, because I do like to include a female in all of my cast notes
there
if
you
I can.
Oh, good job.
Except for The Thing, because you can't do that.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah. The movie summary for this one is: a bounty hunting scam joins two men in an uneasy alliance against a third in a race to find a fortune of gold buried in a remote cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Bullet point on this movie, my thoughts, my ideas, my critique, my criticisms.
Mm-hmm.
The visuals in this movie are what I would consider to be very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be beautiful at times. These huge landscapes that Leone loved to do, these gigantic wide shots that are just gorgeous. And at the same time, some of the grimiest, filthiest motherfuckers you will ever see on screen in these movies. It's just nasty at times.
I mean, you got your good, you got your bad, you need your ugly. They made the ugly very ugly.
He's so good at getting the authenticity from these movies.
I remember there was always a lot of shots of his face and like sweat dripping, and they just made him seem slimy, physically slimy.
Oh yeah, like even Eastwood like has that chewed cigar in his mouth.
Yep.
It's like I don't want any part of it. And it's like Eli Wallach is just so skeezy in this movie. It's great. They go to places and it's just like people are dirty and filthy. Their teeth are gross. Like it's just so interesting because he's Italian. Obviously, Westerns are very much Western, not European movies. And he was just so into it that he's like, I really want to make these. And he kind of came out of Italy and made the best Westerns. I mean, it's hard to argue that like Once Upon a Time in the West isn't one of, if it's not the best Western, it's one of the best Westerns ever made.
And same with this one.
Yes.
I love this one.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would argue between those two movies of which one is
this
the
has
best.
Lee Van Cleef. So good.
Oh,
I
so
love
good.
Lee Van Cleef in
he's,
everything.
He's so good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the bad. He's so good. Yeah, and I think you nailed it, is all the visuals are even reflected in the cast. Like, Lee Van Cleef is so slick and stylish. Like,
yes.
He doesn't break sweats.
He's the only one.
He's always clean and made up. He always looks, like, perfect. And then you have Eli Wallach, who's just this, like, little henchman-y thug-type character. He ends up being smarter than you think he is. He kind of leads you astray. He's so good. Eastwood's, like, your genuine good guy, but he's wearing that dirty serape, and he's just walking around sweaty with that nasty cigar in his mouth. It's just so good. And then it kind of all culminates into the cemetery portion, which is one of the best standoffs in a film of
so
all time.
Good. So very good.
It is just this, I mean, it's film school in a can, that scene. Like, if you want to understand what, like, you mean not breaking the 180 degree rule is, like, there are three men looking at each other in a cemetery, and every eye line that they make in this scene, they change camera angles, they change how close they are on their faces, even to, like, extreme close-ups of their eyes. Every eye line in this is perfect. It's so good. It's, I mean, it's just, it is, like, the high watermark of Westerns.
It's so good. I love Westerns. I have a soft spot for them.
Me too. And this one is just, I mean, if you want to understand filmmaking, it's a hard movie to recommend. Westerns in general are hard to recommend because you have to really be into them. But if you just want to come at it from a pure cinematic standpoint, it's hard not to watch and take in this movie because it's just, you are a better filmmaker for having watched it.
I'm glad you did this movie because I was going to do this movie if you didn't. I love this movie so much.
I have a great little Sergio Leone box set.
Nice.
That's just like, man, well, every once in a while, it's like, I'm just in the mood to just lay there and just be immersed in it.
When you have like a week off.
it's like Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah, it's like, I need to plan this, but.
Yes, but it's so good. IMDb gives us an 8.8 out of 10,
okay,
which is pretty strong for IMDb.
Yeah, definitely.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 74 critics give this a 97%.
Okay.
239,803 audience members also give it a 97%.
So this has to be like top 20 on IMDb, probably.
It's probably pretty high up there, yeah.
Nice.
I am coming in pretty much on point with everybody at a 9.5.
Yeah, you're right.
Out of 10.
Absolutely. I wouldn't argue that at all.
Yeah.
None of those scores. They all sound fine with
me. It was a heavy debate for a long time if I was going to write an 8 or a 5.
Yeah.
Because it's, and I could see there are a few things about it that are like just in terms of length, in terms of there's some problematic portions in there, but overall, it's just so good that like the little minute, little tiny things I can pick apart just separate it from near perfection.
If you find the larger cut of it, do you own the larger cut of it?
Mm-mm.
Should you come across this larger cut, I want you to watch it and just let me, you don't have to redo the whole movie. Just let us know on here if you do. Does it raise it to a 0.8?
The 4 hours.
Yeah, if the 4 hours brings it to a 0.8, or if it brings it back down, or I'd just be interested.
Yeah, me too.
It's like, man, this guy's original vision, it's like a 6.
Yeah,
this
I want to find out why they recut. Like, whose idea was it to come back and revisit the cut? Because I don't know if it was Leone, like, you have to cut this down when it was getting released. Like, nobody's going to watch 4 hours, you cut that shit.
Yeah.
Or if it was, he knew that was the case, so he just was like, I'd love to release a 4 hour version, but. So I'm curious. I want to go back and do some research and see why. And if the reason is compelling, I definitely would check it out.
Nice. Well, I'm going to do a movie maybe you've seen. I'm hoping you did. You can help me out with this one.
Sure.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
Because it's an Adam Green movie.
Oh, then I've seen it.
It's Digging Up the Marrow.
Oh, Digging Up the Marrow. Okay.
Digging Up the Marrow from 2014. I watched it on August 15th. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour 29 minutes. Biography, comedy, drama, directed by Adam Green, starring Adam Green, Ray Wise, and Will Barrett, amongst many, many others.
Ray Wise is so good
so
in this movie.
Good. He's the star, I mean.
Easily. He is.
IMDb summary, a documentary exploring genre-based monster art, takes an odd turn when the filmmakers are contacted by a man who claims he can prove that monsters are indeed real.
Mm-hmm.
So this movie is such a unique movie because it's straddling reality what's real, what's fake.
Right.
It felt like I was watching like a wrestling match where it's like, they want me to believe this is real. But
that's a
good
way
to
put it.
Not doing the best job of convincing me otherwise, but then they'll do something. And it's like, if I watched this as a kid, I would probably believe them to a point.
Yes.
And that's kind of fun.
Yep.
But overall, I don't know if I liked this movie or not.
Okay.
It's not bad. It has moments of extreme joy. It brought me joy, for sure. Let's go to my bullet points.
Please.
It's a weird mashup of real elements and fake documentary. Documentary. Or is it?
Right.
Feels like I'm hanging out with Adam Green, waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
Which I feel is the point, but it gets old.
Yeah.
It has a good ending, but I got kind of bored waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And amazing practical effects.
Yes.
Eventually.
Eventually.
So I think I think I like this in general, but I feel like it just could have been done better. It could have been sewn together a little better. It wasn't, you know, for as much of it being like, I'm Adam Green, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, it wasn't very backpatty.
Right.
It just took place in his actual world, so
yes,
to speak. When he was out in the field with Ray Wise, like, he was so good.
Yeah.
He was compelling, but like, he was the actor in all of this, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I didn't score it super high.
I feel like he tried really hard to do the Spielbergian thing where it's like, I can't put the monsters in this for more than a collective about 2.5 minutes. And the problem is, He's not Steven Spielberg.
Right.
I like Adam Green. Oh, you know that.
Oh, I do too.
I love Adam Green stuff.
And that's why I chose it.
Yeah. He's an awesome filmmaker. He just, I think, got a little bit too into the camp of, I need to keep this really minute. And I understand, like, the point is kind of this disbelief, and him and Will get into, like, this argument of, is it a waste of time? Is it not? And you see him struggling under the weight of, like, this is, like, don't you guys understand this could be, like, this could break everything. If this guy's even kind of right, we could, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is unprecedented.
Yeah. How much is this guy right?
Yeah. And I wish they'd focus more on Green's struggles than who is Ray Wise's character. Was it Deckard or whatever?
Decker, yeah.
Is the detective. I think it's cool, and I like the fact that he based all this off Alex Pardee's artwork. Mm-hmm. Alex Pardee just came up with this idea and just like, wouldn't this be sweet? And he's like, I need to make this a movie.
Yeah, great idea. Great. Yeah. Art's great. But I don't know. So I think the part that kind of took me out of it, and it was a clever idea, but it still kind of took me out of it, was him at a horror con, talking mm-hmm. to other director. I forget which ones, but
yeah,
other
like McGarris is there, and they're like making fun of him for taking the. Like, oh, we talked to that guy. He's nuts.
Right, and like. I get it, but like, man, I wish that just happened a little earlier. I just think you trim a lot of the out in the woods stuff.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't compelling. I just think it went too long without a payoff.
Yes.
So it's like when I finally got my payoff, even if I enjoyed it, I was kind of like, all right.
It was good. It just goes so quick. Like, I love the guy in front of the car. It's like, oh my God, man, that's awesome.
That was one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Right. You had to watch and endure so much that potentially doesn't work to get there.
And again, like we've said many times, it's an hour, 29 minutes, a drug for me.
Right.
And it shouldn't have.
I agree.
But I still love Adam Green.
Me too.
So let's go to these numbers. 5.8 from IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
Rotten Tomato critics, 20 of them gave it 60%.
Mm-hmm.
The audience, 614 people, gave it a 41.
Uh-huh.
I gave it a 4.5. Just didn't resonate with me.
That's fair. I think I'd put it somewhere at about a 6.5.
Wow. I wonder if I just missed the boat, man. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think.
Because I think Ray Wise was awesome.
I think he's great. I think the concept's great. But I think I just am forgiving more of the slowness, you know what I mean, of it, I think. And that's the difference. It's either going to weigh on you and be like, no, or the slowness to be like, ah, it's kind of cool. Like, I guess maybe I'm a little forgiving because I see what he was trying to do.
Right. I just a smidge less.
Yeah.
I don't know what he would have done differently, but just a smidge less of staring into the darkness would have worked for me.
I think that's fair. I think that's a very fair assessment.
Hey.
So, speaking of Adam Green.
What?
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but he does a podcast with his partner, Joe Lynch.
Oh,
they're both
guy.
Directors, yeah, and they do the Movie Crypt podcast, which doesn't need a plug because it's a ridiculously popular podcast.
That's right. We won't mention them.
I watched Joe Lynch's 2019 film, Point Blank.
Ah.
So I watched this in the amazing month of 420 Blaze It.
Hey, Sam.
IMDb minutes, 1 hour, 27 of them.
Sorry,
and Sam. It is an action movie. Don't be sorry. It's the only time I can do this. I can't do this next year. It was directed by Joe Lynch. It stars Frank Grillo, Anthony Mackie, and Marissa Gay Harden, amongst a bunch of other folks who are all noteworthy.
Those are some people.
Yeah.
I like Frank Grillo.
Me too. Pitted against rival gangs and corrupt cops, an ER nurse and a career criminal must work together to survive the fight of their lives.
Whoa.
So the concept's cool. It's a remake of a French film it was a very successful French film. Overall, though, like, the choices in this movie are kind of strange. Like, it felt like they needed Anthony Mackie to get this movie made. So Anthony Mackie plays an ER nurse who is incapable of any kind of real physical combat.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know who Anthony Mackie is, but he's the fucking Falcon.
Yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. He is jacked in this film. He is in good shape. Like, all right, he's a nurse. Maybe he works out and he takes care of himself and he just looks. But, like, you tell me this guy can't throw a punch. He gets knocked over easily. Like, no way. No way. Like, he's in better shape than Grillo is, because Grillo's just a little older and physically not quite as tall. So it's like he just looks more imposing than Frank. Frank Grillo, I think, acts more imposing.
Sure.
But I think Mackie just physically is more of a stature than he is. And it's like, what?
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. It felt like they needed both of them in this film to get it made, because they both are names.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it just really felt strange. Overall, the movie's kind of eh. Like, especially for Joe Lynch, who generally swings really hard when he swings. Like, he's made some fucking crazy movies. Like, his breakout movie was Wrong Turn 2.
Okay, yeah.
Which is completely out there even for that series. Like, I think it really elevated it to get more made. And, like, some of his other films are just completely, like, what is this movie? Like, some really crazy shit. Because when he goes for it, he goes for it.
Right.
And this movie just feels like he was kind of sleepwalking through through it a little bit. Like, there's one cool set piece in a car wash, but it's not even, like, amazing. It's just kind of cool. Adam Green's in that scene, though.
That's cool.
But overall, it's pretty forgettable from him, which is surprising.
I wonder if he was forced to put Mackie in it or some scenario like that.
I think so.
He was just kind of, like, lukewarm on the whole thing after that.
I know there's the production group is one of our favorite film directors, Joe Carnahan.
Hey.
His production company, War Band or something. It's got a name. They were the production company behind it, and this is a Netflix original movie, but it just felt like, it felt like he kind of had to make choices he wasn't really capable of overcoming. But on the other hand, there's a drug dealer character in this film who is fucking great.
It's always the drug dealer that's awesome.
He's so good, but he's kind of like, he's also kind of the bad guy in it, kind of. Huh. It's really, like, there's some stuff in here, some choices, you're just like, damn, like, I really felt myself going, damn it, why wasn't this better? Like, I was mad because it wasn't better, because there's so many places it could have been just, like, had it, like your review, I think, of Digging Up the Marrow, had it just moved, had it just shifted a little bit, it would have completely changed my rating.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. So IMDb gives us a 5.7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 34 critics coming in at a whopping 38%. Audience, 133 of them coming in at an even less impressive 30%. Ooh, yeah, pretty scathing overall.
Yeah.
I'm coming in a little higher than Rotten Tomatoes, but less so than IMDb with your same score for Digging Up the Marrow of a 4.5.
Boy.
Out of 10. More failures than successes.
Boy, I tell you. This episode, sorry.
That's all right. You know what? We're doing the heavy lifting for them, so you're fucking welcome.
Yeah, you don't have to do these things. If you feel like I feel, you know you don't want to watch these movies.
Oh.